chapter 13, verse 13, that you have right there at the heading of the outline, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Valentine's Day. What did you do so far? Anything? Valentine's Day, huh? You know, this is probably, I don't know for certain, but it's probably the one day in all the year that the term love, the word love, is the most misused and abused word. On cards, said, in many ways. We're going to look at a different kind of love, if you will. Not a love that the world speaks of, but a love that the Word of God speaks of, that God has shown and demonstrated in His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. The agape love. A love that many have come to find and experience in a wonderful way. But here, if you will, on Valentine's Day, there are many that miss that, and yet they'll use that term. I think of Roger. Roger, who is 19 years old, who's buying a very expensive bracelet for his to surprise his girlfriend on Valentine's Day. Went to a very expensive jewelry shop to purchase that there in London. The jeweler inquired of Roger. He says, "What would you like your girlfriend's name engraved? Would you like your girlfriend's name engraved on the bracelet?" Roger thought for a moment and grinned, and he answered, "No, instead, engrave this: to my one and only love, love forever, Roger." Well, the jeweler smiled because he was really impressed with that sentiment that was to be engraved on that bracelet. He says, "Why, sir, that is really romantic of you." And Roger retorted, he says, with a glint in his eyes, "Well, not exactly romantic, but really practical. This way, if we break up, I can use it again." No matter how we write the word and how we speak the love, we need to remember that there's much more to that term from God's point of view for each and every one of us. In the New Testament language, the Greek words for love that are often translated love, one is eros, and you don't find eros in the New Testament. You don't find it in any place in the Word of God. But in the Greek mind, eros, sometimes translated love elsewhere, was a sensual love, a physical attraction. It's where we get the word erotic, if you will, or eroticism. Eros. One of the words that the Greek used for love was phileo. And we do find that word for love in the Word of God in the New Testament. It's oftentimes translated brotherly love. It's a love of a friendship relationship. It's a bond between people. A reciprocating relationship. Brotherly love. That's not the love that we're talking about this morning. A love that is well spent through a life well lived. It's the agape love. We find that repeated throughout the New Testament. There in your outline before you, sometimes people get mixed up between love and lust. Well, I don't mean the spelling of the word or the use of the word in that way, speaking it, but sometimes they get mixed up with regard to how it's expressed. Love versus lust in our culture, if you will. Lust takes, it grasps, it holds on to, it controls, or seeks to control. Ultimately, lust will be destructive in any relationship. If a relationship is founded upon lust, it will not last. Love, just the opposite. It doesn't grasp and take and seek to control. It gives, it serves, it encourages, it sacrifices, it builds up, it rejoices for others. Paul understood this so very well, the very person of the Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to understand that too. That's why God has given us a very clear description of what love is. There in 1 Corinthians 13. Certainly personalized and epitomized in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But also God wants this kind of love to be expressed in our relationship with him and our relationship with others. Again, let's take a look, if you will, at the verses from 1 Corinthians 13 that were so wonderfully read by John earlier in our scripture reading, but verses 4 through 8. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails, never ends. That's why Paul could say, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Where does that love come from? For us, for you, for me, as followers, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take a look at the next verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love, that agape love, that love that is totally opposite from lust, that love is being poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. God pours that love into the lives of his children. He's given us that love in the very person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the moment that a man, woman, or boy, or girl receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit does a wonderful thing. They are born again. They are made new. They are new creations in Christ. Thing in Jesus Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And one of the many, many other blessings that God brings into the life of his children, he pours that agape love, that love that exemplifies God's love in his Son, Jesus Christ, into our hearts and into our lives. Let me share an illustration. David and Jane. Now, the names have been changed to protect the guilty. A young married couple. They had problems, they had conflicts, like many of us have in life. The Christian life is never meant to be without problems or conflicts, but they're used by God in our life and a demonstration of his love and his strength and his grace that we can grow through them, grow closer to him and closer to each other through them. But David and Jane, they were married, a young couple. They had many problems, many conflicts. They fought like cats and dogs. Both parents spoke of that. The conflict and the turmoil in their marriage, in their home, with their young daughter, was compounded by addictions, abuse, anger, and even adultery. The counselor had asked them about their relationship, if they loved one another, and they both said yes, they loved one another. And the counselor read to them this passage that you read, that I read to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. And the counselor asked them, he said, would you say that this describes your love for each other? Would this be a clear description of that love that you affirm for one another? David was silent. Jane thought. She said something very strange. She said, you know something? That's fantasy. That's a storybook kind of love that you read about. It can't be real. It can't be true. How sad. But the reality is, left to ourselves, without Jesus Christ coming into our lives and bringing us into a relationship with God as our Father and a relationship with other followers of Christ as brothers and sisters in the family of God, left to ourselves, we would be just like James. Reading that, hearing that, seeing that, and say, that's a fantasy. That can't be true. That's a storybook kind of love. That's something out there, but it's not right here. Not where my marriage is at. Not where my family's at. But praise be unto God, you and I know that there's a difference, isn't there? It is real. It is real. And it can be experienced by everyone and be involved in every marriage and every home. We'll get back to David and Jane in a little while. But as you follow with me in your outline, a life, if you will, a love rather, love well spent through a life well lived. Well spent. And that phrase, if you will, well spent, we use it for a lot of things, don't we, in our society, in our life. Money, well spent. You know, have you ever spent money that was not well spent? I have. Time well spent. Have you ever spent time that was not well spent? I have too. Energy well spent. I mean, we use that well spent to attack to a lot of things that we expend, whether it be time, energy, or money. Tony understood just a little bit about that, about a love well spent. Jim asked his friend Tony whether he had brought his wife anything for Valentine's Day. Yes, came the answer, which really was a surprise to his friend Jim. You see, Tony was a bit of a chauvinist. I brought her a belt and a bag. Well, that was very kind of you, Jim said. I hope she appreciated the thought. And Jim smiled, you know, very proudly, and he replied, he says, so do I, and hopefully the vacuum cleaner will work a lot better now. Well, that's not exactly love well spent. It could be. It could be. Love costs. That's what we're talking about here. Love well spent through a life well lived. The love that God gives you to love him, to love others. Well spent. You see, love, that kind of love costs. It pays a price. That kind of love gives. Think of John 3:16, for God so loved, the agape love, so loved you and me, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We see that time throughout these gospel record. Take a look, if you will, at John 13, the verse before you. It was just before the Passover feast. It was there in the upper room. There in the upper room, the Lord wanted to spend that special time with his 12 disciples, because he knew shortly after that he would be arrested, he would be beaten, he would be crucified, he would die. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Now, most of you know that John 13, the beginning of that discourse in the upper room, the Lord began by washing the disciples' feet. Something totally, totally incomprehensible to the disciples. Why, that would be done by a slave. And certainly not even by a Jewish slave. Maybe a Gentile slave. But not our rabbi, not our Lord, not our master. In the immediate context, that would be one demonstration that the Lord served them as a servant. But in the larger context, and that's what John is getting, because he says, having loved his own, you and I as well, who are in the world, he showed them the extent, the full extent of his love. Not a love that grasped and held on, but a love that gave. 2 Corinthians, Paul reflects that same love, if you will. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? Paul loved the Corinthians. Now they were a pain in the neck. Read 1 Corinthians. Then read 2 Corinthians. But he loved them. You have anybody who's a pain in the neck in your life? Huh? Oh, I don't want your list, okay? Maybe you got more than one, I don't know. But the Lord wants you to love that person. That's what Paul is saying. In spite of all these things that are going on in your life and in the fellowship of the church there, he says, I love you. And I'm willing to spend my life for you. Love well spent is through a life well lived. But love, if you have that love that God gives you, that love is to be spent. Let's come back with me, if you will. There are two directions. Well, Matthew chapter 22, the verses before you. This is how God qualifies, if you will, or directs this love. Take a look, he says. And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. But he didn't stop there, did he? Take a look at what follows. This is the great love and first commandment. And the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Two directions, two directions of focus and expressions of that love. that is to be well spent. One direction is towards God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's a quotation way back in Deuteronomy. That was from God himself and his commandment to his people, the Israelites. And the second one, of course, is also from the Old Testament, God's command to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, the two directions, one is vertical, loving God with all of our life, a love well spent for him, but also a love well spent for our neighbor, the other direction. There are really more than two directions to love, aren't there? The one is alluded to. We're to love our neighbors as what? As ourselves. You see, a love well spent really is mindful of the first two directions, love towards God and love toward others. But the third one that we have a problem with, that you and I both have a problem with, that's a love for ourselves. Sometimes that gets in the way. Sometimes that gets in the way, our love for God. Well, you know, it's really not convenient. Lord, do you really want me to do that? Do you really want me to give that? Love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes our love for ourselves gets in the way there also. It does for me. Does it do that for you too? But you see, a love well spent, as God instructs and commands us in his word, a love well spent is to love the Lord our God in that direction. Love toward God, but love your neighbor as yourself in that direction as well. God knows, oh boy, does he know how much we love ourselves. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 25? Matthew chapter 25. It's an illustration of a love well spent, or a love that's not spent at all. Matthew chapter 25. There are those who gave, and there are those who grip tight. And this is what I mean. Take a look, if you will, at Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. Then the king will say, this is a parable the Lord is teaching about the final judgment. But in this teaching about the final judgment, there's much more than just the final judgment. It's about love that is well spent through a life that is well lived. Verse 20, 34, then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer. Notice these words. Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of these, least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. A love well spent through a life well lived. There's two things that we can see here. The Lord places great value and importance on acts of love. But there's also something else here. Those acts of love, that love that is spent for others, is also a love that is spent for the Lord. The things that you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you have done unto me. Let's go to not the ones that give, but to the ones that grip and grasp and hold on to. Follow with me as I pick it up at verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? When did we do that, Lord? Is what they're crying out. Then he will say to them, truly I say to you, you did not do it to the two you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. A love well spent through a life well lived. Indeed, in this parable, in this teaching, the Lord's talking about the final judgment. And he certainly is not talking about working for salvation so that you earn your eternal life. That isn't the issue here. But he is talking about how we live our lives, isn't he? How we live our lives in relationship to others. Love well spent through a life well lived is recognized by God. And again, two things, the importance of those acts of love. And those acts of love are not just for others, but as you act on that love is well spent, is also toward the Lord. Let's go on, if you will. Love like grace, if you have your outline before you, love like grace. God pours into our lives the abounding, the amazing grace of God. We sing about it. And we just sang this morning about the amazing love of God. And we know that Romans chapter 5, verse 5, God pours his love into our hearts. Love like grace. God pours into our lives, like depositing it into our checking account to be spent on others. You know, one of the principles about this is the more we spend, the more God gives. We cannot outgive him. We cannot outlove him. Aren't you glad? I sure am. The connecting phrase, a word there, if you will, love well spent through a life well lived. That connecting word, it's a channel, it's a conduit. The means of demonstrating that God-honoring love. I'm sure you'll agree that love is much more than just words on a card. Or even words that are spoken. Love is choices. Love is actions. To the lives, your life, my life, to the lives of others. To a life well lived. Let's take that apart, if you will. A life well lived. Your life, my life. What defines your life? What are you living for? Are you living for that bucket list to be fulfilled? Whatever that bucket list is? You've seen this on cars, I'm sure. A little sticker, the one who dies with the most toys wins. You've ever seen that? It's kind of the philosophy and the worldview of many. How do I define my love? By the things that I possess. By the things that I have. Many people do that. How do you define your love? We're talking about love well spent through a life well lived. But we want to look at that life. Your life, my life. What defines your life? Oh, not by others. Not by others, but by you. By me. How do we define our own life? Possessions, pleasure, position, popularity, power. The five P's. Any one of those yours? Or some people just define their life by personal comfort, by security. And they will do anything with their life for that personal comfort and that security. We see that every day in the lives of young girls. They'll believe anything from a guy who says, you know, I really love you. Let's have sex. You know, I really love you. Why don't you move in with me? Or I'll move in with you. We see that time and time and time again. You've seen it, I've seen it. Love well spent through a life well lived. Let me give you an illustration of a life well lived. Take a look, if you will, before you. We have Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21. And he told them a parable. This is the words of Christ saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. Boy, what a problem, huh, for a farmer. And you think of all the farms around us, you know, and all these silos and everything else. And what shall I? And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, to my life, to the very core of my life, to the very value, if you will, of how I define my life. Soul, you have ample goods laid up for you for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Before we go on to the next, how would you say a love well spent through a life well lived would have defined what he would do with that abundant crop? Do you think maybe, just maybe, he would have given some of that to those in need? But he didn't. He didn't. Because you see, he defined his life not out of a love well spent, but about what I have. And I'm set for my retirement. I'm set for the future. Let's see what the Lord says to him, okay? But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, well, whose will they be? They're not going to be yours. They're going to be somebody else's. And so is the one who lays up treasures for himself and who is not rich towards God. You see, a love well spent through a life well lived is a life that is rich towards God. You know, there's only a few times that we see in scriptures, both Old and New Testament, where God speaks of a person or people as being a fool or fools. I think of Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. How foolish! We also see there in Proverbs where it says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Love well spent through a life well lived. How do you define your life? What are you living for? Are you rich towards God? The Lord says in Matthew 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What we most value in our lives, and think about the most often times when we think, defines our lives and what we're really living for. Getting back to David and Jane, do you remember them? After asking that question, if they love one another, and the counselor going through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, and David's silence and Jane's saying, that's fantasy. That's a storybook. It can never happen. They were told that through Jesus Christ, that can become a reality in their life and in their marriage and their family. Because Jesus specializes in broken lives and broken families and marriages. He will enable them to love one another as is described in his word. He will enable them to forgive each other. He will enable them to get through their conflicts and their problems from a growth standpoint so they can grow in love with God and grow in love with each other. The gospel was presented to them that God would change their lives and they begin again if they would only admit their lifestyle was wrong. God calls it sin. And will they come to Jesus Christ as sinners, knowing that he died and rose again for them? If they did that, the good news, the amazing news, is that their lives would be changed through faith in Christ. They both got up and walked out. I never saw David and Jane again. They made their choice. You see, when what was presented to them that they could experience a love well spent through a life well lived they didn't want any part of me. How sad. How sad. A life well lived. What is a life well lived? Longevity, good health, comfort, problem free? If you ask the average person on the street, they would say, yeah, any one of these, and maybe something else too. Psalm 1 gives a clear description of a life that is well lived in contrast to a life that is not well lived. The Lord also speaks in His Sermon on the Mount of a life that is well lived as opposed to a life that is not well lived. But to put it simply and bluntly, this is, if you will, from Christ Himself. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Soul meaning, if you will, the very essence of his life, where he has those values, those desires, that connection. Again, what is a life well lived? Take a look at your outline before you. It begins with knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. That's when a life begins to really live and to really begin to be well lived. It's a life seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness. It's a life loving others as Jesus Christ loves you. It's a life lived with eternity in view. It's a life that is learning more how to give than a life that only gets. It's a life described in these words. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken down, running over, it will be put into your lap. Well, I love that part, don't you? For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Love well spent through a life well lived. Is that your life? Is that your life? If it is, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that He's enabled you to have a love to be well spent through your life that is well lived. Thank God for that. But if it isn't, it can be. This is not a beat up sermon. Don't see it as that. If that doesn't describe your life, love well spent through a life well lived, it can be. And you see, the wonderful thing is, it's about today. Oh, I don't mean Valentine's Day. Okay? I mean, it's about today. Because if your life isn't one that is described by a love well spent through a life well lived, it can be right now today. Because God says, today is the day of salvation. I find it interesting that the writer of Hebrews, he's writing to Christians. You see, that work of salvation, it never stops, it continues. That gospel continues to work in your life, in my life, in your marriage, in my marriage, in your family, in my family. That's the good news. So if your life isn't described by a love well spent through a life well lived, it can be, and it can start today. And the good news is, all you have to do is just say, Lord, I've wasted my life. I've not been loving you as I ought to love. I've not been loving others as I ought to love. Love for myself is constantly getting in the way. Lord, forgive me. Lord, change my life. Fill me with your love so that your love that you're pouring into my life can be now invested in and spent in the lives of others. So that, Lord, by your love and by your grace, by your mercy, by your presence, by your power, I can live a life that is well lived. Because I don't know what a day may bring forth. But I know I have today. And I must act on your truth. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your amazing love to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you didn't send a card You didn't send some trivial gift, but you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, the fullness of your love, to be our Savior, to be our sacrifice, a sacrifice for our sins, that we could be forgiven, that we could have that new life, a new life filled and overflowing with your grace, but also filled and overflowing with your love, that we can spend that love toward you and toward others through a life that is well lived, the new life you've given us. Guide us, Father, we pray, that whatever we're holding back, Lord, you give us the grace and the will to release. Whatever stops us, Lord, give us the grace and the will to step forward. Lord, whatever we have done that is somehow taken away from that love that should be spent through a life well lived, Lord, remove that from our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.